Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour. This is David Corey, along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey there, David. How are you? And good evening, everyone. Tonight, we have a very special guest, Mr. Henry Purnell of the Veterans Action Project of Newport Richey, Florida. Henry will be with us tonight to tell us about his group and the many programs that have to help veterans. Then, after our interview with Henry Purnell, we will have an update on veterans news from Washington, D.C., and then wrap up the show with some practical information for veterans.
Yes, and for all our listeners around the country, please remember that the Veterans News Hour is a show that welcomes your views, your comments, and your questions. So you can call us anytime during the show. Grab your pen and paper. Here's the number. It's 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. We welcome your calls.
Yes, and please, callers, call in. But first, let me begin with an introduction of our very special guest, Henry Purnell, who is the president of a nonprofit organization called the Veterans Action Project Incorporated. It is located in Newport Richey, Florida, which is in Pasco County, just north of Tampa, Clearwater, and St. Petersburg, on the central west coast of Florida. Welcome, Henry. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you, David.
Henry.
Good to see you. Glad to be here tonight.
Henry, please tell us about your organization, the Veterans Action Project, its history and its mission.
Well, we actually were founded in 1998, kind of a funny story. I have to actually go back before that so you can kind of get the picture. I moved to Florida here in 1990 around July 27th. And of course, like everybody who comes here, you're looking for work. You're always, you do a full-time job. You try to find a side job just to gather dollars to, to live. So I, answered an ad in a newspaper from, what I found out later was the VFW fundraiser. And I started working at their Newport Richey office as just a part-time delivery driver. And I got to know a couple of the guys there, one being George Kobinski and Mike Ribeiro. And the three of us kind of became friends. Mike was a 3-tour Vietnam veteran, Marine Corps. George did like 6 years in the Navy, and I myself served in the Air Force. We used to go out on a Friday or Saturday night like a lot of young people do, and we were just talking, and at that time Mike was still going through his VA appeal process to get his 100% disability from his service in Vietnam, and we were just sitting there going on and on about the VA because we're all disabled vets here, and someone just spit out, well, why don't we try to do something in the interim? And we kind of took it as a joke, and we were sitting there joking around, and we kind of put a concept together. And then from there, we actually kind of dove into it and started doing it. And here we are today, and we filed for our nonprofit status in 1998, and I think it took about 5 years back then. It took a long time. I think we got it actually in 2003. We rented this little office here, and started letting people know what we do. We solicit funds on the telephone, and we send information out to people where they basically mail back whatever donation they choose to. And we just started providing services to veterans here in the local area at first, and we've kind of branched out to cover most of Central Florida and some other parts of Florida, too. We just seem to get more requests in Central Florida here.
Well, that's we have a call. Hey, Rick. Richard,
I wanted to ask you, Henry, that you're located in Pasco County, Newport Richey, Florida, and I'm very familiar with that. I'm in Hernando. That's where one of my offices is. But you're saying that your geographic location is other than just the Newport Richey area. You reach out to other, you know, more towards Central Florida.
Yeah, we've helped people down like in the Port Charlotte area, all the way out to Daytona. I'd say within most of our work is within say 100-125 miles of here, but we have helped people in farther reaches of the state. It just doesn't seem to come as often.
Richard, we have a caller on one of the lines, if you'd like to take it.
That'd be great.
Okay, Doug, you want to take that call, bring that call on? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
My name is Billy Wheat from Ocala, Florida. And
hello, Billy, how are you?
Not doing good at all. It seems like every time I go to the doctor, I have something else comes up wrong with me on diabetes, but I guess that's the process. I got maybe two or three questions to ask if you got a little time.
Go ahead. We have a guest on tonight. I don't know if you're listening, Mr. Henry Purnell of the Veterans Action Project. So if you have any particular questions for Henry and his group, feel free to let me start with those questions.
Well, basically, it's just about what stuff is wrong with me. And I will probably think of some more stuff to call in a little bit later on. But anyway, hyperthyroidism. From what I understand about that, it makes the control of your blood sugar very difficult if you're diabetic. Shouldn't that be something, excuse me, that the VA would consider in your favor?
Well, they may, and they very well may, but I think that's the sort of thing that we would need to look at the medical evidence and get an opinion from a doctor to discuss that thing that would be case specific to your situation. So that's really about all I could tell you over the phone about something like that. So if you have any questions for our guest tonight, why don't we go to those questions, and then perhaps if you want to call us back later in the show, if you have questions about other topics, that would be wonderful. I want to give our special guest a... Go ahead.
Let me think of something I can call back in and ask him specifically, and
okay.
We'll go from there.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
Thanks.
Let's go back. Let's go back and continue our interview with Henry.
Henry, would you tell us a little bit about your experience in helping veterans and the kinds of specific projects your group performs?
Okay, well, it's a pretty good list. One of the things we decided, probably one of the biggest functions we have, we decided when we first started this project here was we didn't want to be complicated. We wanted to be rapid response. We wanted to try to keep it simple, find ways to just, because by the time a lot of people get to us, by the time they call us, even with all the people that know us and the referrals and the network we've built, it still seems that people seem to come to us when it's almost too late. Someone will come to us and say, look, I'm 3 months behind on my mortgage. Can you help me? And we just take a look at the situation. We'll contact the mortgage company, tell them we're working on it. We'll get the doc. We basically have a couple of small requirements here, nothing crazy. We always request to see a copy of a DD-214 so we can look at character of discharge and time served. And the only real requirement is that the discharge, somewhere on it says honorable. It can be general under honorable, as long as they served at least a minimum of a year, or they can show like a hardship. There's many reasons people get out of the service, you know, before the end of an enlistment. Not all of them are bad. So we try to just make sure that, you know, there was a good reason, and then we're willing to help. Along with that, we try to gather up whatever documentation is needed. If someone's requesting a mortgage, we look, you know, give us the documents from the mortgage company so we can contact the mortgage company, or in the case of an electric bill or a water bill or something like that, we'd actually contact, you know, whichever company, say, this is what we're trying to do. We want to make sure this gentleman can stay in their home with their services that are needed, you know, gentleman, woman, you know, the veteran, make sure the veteran can stay in the home. It's about homeless prevention. We don't want to see a veteran on the street. We want to get to it and prevent it before it gets to a point where they end up in that situation. Because once they're there, it's a much more difficult thing to deal with. So we pride ourselves on being rapid and getting right to the point and just getting it done. I mean, that's one of the biggest things we do. We pay mortgages, rents, electrics, you know, electric bills, water bills. We've helped people with insurance. You know, if a veteran has a vehicle he needs to get back and forth to work with, he's in dire straits, he needs a payment on a vehicle, we've done that. We've paid insurance before. We try not to pay for frivolous things like cable. And I mean, we've had some pretty crazy requests for stuff, you know. We try to stick it to the, you know, to the basics so they can at least stay in their homes and, you know, have water and air conditioning and things that are necessary. That's one of the biggest things we do. We've provided probably hundreds of motorized wheelchairs to veterans in the past when they were more difficult to get with the VA. Someone just would basically, again, be referred or call us directly, say, here's what I need. And we just get a DD214, like I said, and we would actually either go out and purchase or someone had donated to us a motorized scooter, wheelchair, whatever the particular product was that was needed. We would actually deliver that ourselves to their home, show them how to use it, make sure it was something that they could use in their home. We've also done that with prosthetic devices of different types, dentures. We had a guy who needed a leg. We actually, you know, we'll contact companies and let them know who we are, what we're trying to do. Say, look, we're trying to help this guy. He needs a set of dentures. He lives in this particular area. We try to find someplace that's reasonably close to the veteran so he can get there. If he can't get there, we'll take him there. And that leads to another thing we do. We also have like a transportation service for, say, a 75-mile radius of our area here. If someone needs to get to, say, Bay Pines or James A. Haley, you know, we'll, if they don't have transportation, they can call us and we'll arrange to have them get there. That's something we've done for...
Excuse me, Henry. You know, one of the things as you're going through your list, it sounds like some of the things that you are providing our veterans are things that, in my opinion anyway, that the VA should be providing our veterans. And it seems like you have to kind of pick up where they fail.
That was kind of the idea. I mean, that's kind of why we decided to do it. I mean, the VA, most people out here in the, you know, in the general population don't really understand exactly what the VA does. I mean, the VA's main purpose is to provide health care. And other than that, you know, they do, you know, like I'm a disabled vet, you know, and they provide the pension or the disability, you know, but that's really about, you know, and if some, you know, if they have other things they do, but they all go within the realm of health care. They're not here to actually bail veterans out of financial trouble. That's not what they do. And I don't believe that's what they've ever done.
Henry, if I could interject, this is David speaking. I think that, in fact, the VA's disability system is so slow, particularly when a case gets into the appeal system where it can take, you know, 3 to 5, even 10 years, in multiple
days of
appeals.
I'd say a good 65% of the veterans that we have helped over since 1998 have been in that exact position.
Yeah, the VA is actually putting them in the financial situation because these folks, a lot of them can't work at all because of their disabilities. They're waiting. They've been low rated on their disability or denied entirely. And they need help just to pay the necessities. Yeah, so I think your group is doing wonderful work, and I really applaud you for what you're doing. Could you walk us through what a veteran in your area, which is basically, you know, it's the state of Florida, but I guess you know heavily on the west central side. If a veteran, I want to ask you really a two-part question. How can our listeners out there help your organization with donations? But at the same time, if a veteran is in need because of a situation like you've described, how can the public contact your organization?
Well, the best way, there's a couple of ways. I mean, they could call us directly at 727-841-7329. We also are on Facebook at Veterans Action Project, Inc. and our page will come up, and they can contact us through that. We don't have a website at this point because we've had some bad luck with websites. Every time we get one, we have it for a year, and the next, you know, the people who maintain the website, you know, because I'm not the kind of person that can do that. You know, they end up selling it. They end up wanting money before they should get it. It's a strange thing. We've had two or three of them. We just said, you know what? It's at this point in time, we could use social media. It's probably not necessary. So they could call us directly, or if they want to do something through the mail, we're at 5254 State Road 54, Newport Richey, Florida 34652.
Okay, that's great. And how would a veteran what would, let's say a veteran is in desperate need of some short term financial help, if they were to call your office, what can they expect in as far as the process, what they would need to provide? And also, I know you briefly touched on this earlier, but maybe if you could tell us more about that.
It's very simple. Okay, let's say you're the veteran calling. Call me and you say, we need help. I need help. I can't pay my rent this month. My first question would be, well, how much is your rent? And my second question would be, are you in the rears? And my third question would be, how long did you serve and what branch? And do you have a DD-214? Okay, and then they would answer that. And if they did, I would just say, I'd give them my fax number. I would say, fax that information along with a copy of your lease to my office, along with, make sure your phone number is on there where I can contact you. I'll get that information. I'll read it. If they're fast in sending it, I'll be fast in my response. And as soon as I see it, I'll look at it. If I have any questions, I'll call them back. If I don't have any questions, I'll call the landlord or the managing command. Usually it's like a management company or something. I go between, and I'll talk with them, and I'll just ask them, you know, is so-and-so, you know, how much rent does he owe? I explain ourselves to them and say, we're paying rent for this person. I just want to be sure we get the amount right. You know, is there a chance I can mail it to you, or can I bring it to you, depending on if it's local or not? And I would tell them, I'd give them a check number. We're mailing out X amount of dollars. It's a check number. It's going in this morning's mail. And then I would also go back and call the veteran and say, this is what we did, this is what we're doing, I've been in contact with so-and-so, and I would give them that same information. So if there's ever any problem, they could use it to rectify it, and of course they could always call me, and I'll go to bat for them as well.
Right. That sounds like a pretty fast process. I know when we've talked earlier, you've kind of described your organization as being a rapid response, kind of a MASH type of operation, which I think veterans would be very, very happy to see. It's the exact opposite from what most veterans often encounter with the VA, where they're waiting.
Yeah, it usually shocks the heck out of them when I call them, you know, within 12 minutes and say, oh, well, this is what we're doing. Now I got to be honest with you. Sometimes we can't act that fast.
Right.
You know, on some days when we get 10 or 12 requests, and we only have X amount of dollars coming in, that money has to be managed. So then we have to take priority. You know, if someone's going to get evicted, that takes priority.
Right.
We'll sit there and prioritize. You know, it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
But sometimes it does. Sometimes we'll get, it'll just seem like one or two days we'll get 15 or 20 requests, and then we might not get one for 2 weeks.
Wow.
But you never know.
Right. Now, if you had additional contributions, what would be some of the projects that you would see a need, further need for the veterans in Florida?
I could say if we were rich, a lot of veterans. I tell you what I would do, what I would love to do. If I really, it would take a pretty good amount of money. But here's something I'd love to do. A lot of the guys I see that are like. Well, I shouldn't always say guys. It just happens to be that I seem to deal with more men than women. But I do deal with quite a few women too. A lot of veterans I see are, you know, especially ones that are coming back in the last couple of years. They're just going through the process now, and you know, they get denied for some disability, or they have a disability that they're rated for, but you know, there's no way they can live on the money. Or someone's in process of going through an appeal, or a second appeal, and it could, like I said, it could take years. I would love to be able to do something where I could say, okay, I can give you X amount of dollars a month and just, you know, so you can live.
Right, right.
Because I can't, I don't have the money to do that. I wish I could do that.
Right. But and would you have the use for, if you had additional volunteers, let's say if some of these veterans were able to contribute some time, perhaps not able to work full-time but for your organization, but if you had volunteer help, would you have a need for that? What would be the kinds of things that you might have?
I would definitely, well, we could always use people to run people, you know, to drive. That's a big thing because there's only a few of us now that do it. And, you know, if you get slammed on a day with, like, four or five veterans, you try to get people to call ahead of time and say, look, I got to go to James A. Haley at 11 o'clock on April 15th. Great, then right. I can manage it. But sometimes you get something that happens that they call that day.
Right, right.
And sometimes you just can't be there.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, that sounds like another good program because I know there's a lot of veterans out there that are disabled. They can't drive. They may not have relatives or friends that can drive them to the VA hospital or even their nearby clinic. And
right.
So, and we, yeah, that so, transportation
we
is
spend
a really big.
A significant amount of our time doing that.
Right, right, right.
Hey, and, Henry, and, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How many people are helping you right now that are on your staff?
There's only about six of us. We're not large by any means. We do quite a bit, but we're not large.
Yeah, that's amazing what you're doing with such a minimal amount of staff. That's awesome.
Well, I think you're doing.
You just got to do what you got to do, you know.
Right, you're doing great work, and I want to repeat the contact information that you gave out earlier for our listeners. The Veterans Action Project in Newport Richey, Florida. Their phone number is area code 727-841-7329. Again, that's area code 727-841-7329. And they're located at 5254 State Road 54. That's 5254 State Road 54 in Newport Richey, Florida, zip code 34652. And they're on Facebook. Just type in Veterans Action Project, and you should find them easily on Facebook with a lot of good information and a lot of examples of the great projects that they've done. And they are a 501c3 publicly funded charity, so your charitable contributions are certainly welcome and certainly needed very much. Then they're doing great work for veterans. Henry, I want to give you a chance maybe to share with us maybe some anything additional you'd like to tell us about your groups and some of the projects that you've done in the past. And I understand that you've had you support some of the local one of the state veterans nursing homes in particular. You provided them with holiday dinners, and perhaps one of your goals is to expand to other veterans' homes. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, sir. Back at Baldomero Lopez State Veterans Nursing Home is one of seven in the state of Florida. I believe each home houses roughly 120 to 140 veterans. We've actually gone out to a couple of them, Douglas T. Jacobson, which is located in Port Charlotte, and Baldomero Lopez State Veterans Nursing Home, located in Land O'Lakes, Florida. We've actually been going out there since it opened in 1999.
Wow.
And we just went out and put on a Christmas dinner for the veterans out there, and they loved it so much that the staff and the residents were like, hey, can you do one for the 4th of July? Can you do something for Memorial Day? So now we end up going out there four times a year.
Wow. Well, that would be great. And in fact, I'm just thinking as something maybe we ought to talk about that we can help you with. I know a local area comedian who's also a he does impressions of famous people. Maybe we could get him to provide some live comedy entertainment at some of these things that these veterans would really enjoy. His name is Rick Chapman. He lives in Wesley Chapel, but I just an idea just popped
that.
To my
I've
head.
Heard that name
yeah, because he would he's a great impressionist. I mean, he's you can check him out on YouTube. But I think these veterans would also enjoy that because I'm thinking that you know they're living in these veterans' homes and some of them may not have family or friends to visit them and.
That's kind of why we started doing it because we it's kind of strange. We were talking to somebody who was a donor of ours, and they were telling us about this place and a nursing home in another state they had been, and they were saying it's so sad that so many of veterans there don't, you know, they're all alone. You know, they don't have, you know, some of them are so old enough to where they don't have family and friends come and visit.
Right.
So I said, well, that's something we can jump on. So as soon as as Baldomero opened, we started contacting them and started setting up we could go out there. We just never expected to become something where we go out there almost on every major holiday.
Right.
You know, especially the veterans' holidays. And the veterans out there really enjoy it. They just,
right.
They're tickled pink.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Henry, I have a question for you. Are you in the jurisdiction of Congressman Bill Arrakis?
Yes, I am. I know Congressman Bill Arrakis.
Yeah, do you? I know he's the number two man on the Veterans Committee in Congress. And do you deal with him much on veterans issues?
I have a few times. I mean, I've actually, when I found veterans that were really getting a raw deal through the VA or something, I've actually taken them to Congressman Bill Arrakis and said, "This man needs some help. He's in a bad way, and he's not getting treated right." And
you know, I'd like to, one of the things I'd love to do maybe down in your area is to put on a town hall meeting and invite Bill Arrakis to the meeting and fill the town hall with a bunch of veterans, and much like they did with the Affordable Care Act recently, and let the veterans kind of have at it. What do you think?
That could be interesting. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, I know that Congressman Bill Arrakis, a month or two ago, I found out about this, unfortunately, like a day after it happened, but he had a meeting with some veterans groups, and this email newsletter had a picture of the meeting, and it was in a tiny conference room. It wasn't a town hall for veterans. It was just representatives of a few veterans groups, which I think is really doing a disservice to a lot of the veterans who aren't getting heard that way. So I think that's something that perhaps it would be useful to organize a, like Rick said, a kind of a
town
hall. Well,
there's been some other organization, too, because I remember a couple of years ago we attended something. It was called Operation Stand Down, and it was in this area, and there was tons of veterans people there. It was pretty good.
I know the VA down there at Bay Pines, they now call it the C.W. Bill Young Medical Center, but for the last few years in April, and they just had one a couple weeks ago, and I didn't go to the one just a couple weeks ago, but I went to the one year ago. They have a stand-down day it's geared primarily to homeless veterans, but it's
yes,
just...
Yes, I've actually attended that before.
Yeah, I attended it not this year, but last year. It's really an incredible... I have to, you know, tip my hat to the VA because and other organizations. It's not just the VA, but the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs plays a big part in organizing. It's on their property, but there are other veteran organizations, and even the local state court judges. They have some judges there, and the state attorney and the public defender there to help some veterans that are dealing with pending criminal charges. See if they can resolve those quickly. It's kind of a one stop shopping for
one-stop
all
shop.
Kinds.
Yep, I mean, it's a great idea, and it's actually. A few of them around, the problem is, it's like marketing. I mean, I'm not the greatest marketer, but sometimes you don't hear about these things until like 3 days before they happen, and you're like, oh man, you know, it's like,
right.
I'm already in the weeds, you know.
Right. Well, as, you know, maybe planning if the VA has it again next April-ish, March or April-ish, it might be something to. Get involved in, and also use it as a marketing, because when I went last year, I mean, it was packed. It was very, very crowded, and they were doing all sorts of things for veterans, making sure that they were aware of the various social services that could help them. And so
I believe we got referred quite a bit through the one last year.
Yeah, and
even though we weren't there, there were people there that we knew there, and we basically told them, send them to us. If there's something we can do, send them to us.
Right.
We probably got 20 or 30 from there.
Right.
In that short order.
Right. How would you describe the situation with homeless veterans in West Central Florida from your experience? Is it how big of a problem would you say it is in terms of numbers?
It used to be really a real big problem. I mean, I know years ago, back before the laws changed, we used to go to different food restaurants and collect the food from the end of the day and just take it to, we knew two or three areas where there were like homeless camps.
Right.
And in talking to those people, most of those people were veterans. That has seemed to have gone down some, or they've moved on. Counties have gotten real strict on the homeless population and really clamped down on it, and some haven't. And they tend to figure out pretty quick where they can go.
Right.
I don't see as much homelessness as I used to, and I think that's probably because of, hopefully some because of our work and other groups out there. And I think the VA has gotten a little bit quicker, and they have some new programs too that actually sometimes actually get to where they're supposed to get, and they actually do help people.
Right.
So I don't think it's as bad as it used to be. And there is a segment of veterans out there too that choose to be that way.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Because you can't help them because they don't want it.
Right. And I think you're right about that. There's been a greater emphasis. The VA has made it one of their priorities in the last year to 2 years to help get homeless veterans off the street. I know in the Tampa Bay area there are a number of homeless housing programs. In the Clearwater area, there's the
Homeless Empowerment
Project.
Yep. We worked with one in Tampa called Liberty Manor. They had four locations, and I believe they can house like 30 veterans. And
right.
We worked with them for a couple of years, actually, providing things that the veterans needed. Again, along the motorized wheelchair line and things like that. And so I know that's been a help in that area. I mean, I'm sure it still exists. I just don't see it as much as I used to. So I'm hoping that.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. But I know there's still
a
lot of
veterans. Yeah, that's a great thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of veterans in need, and I know your organization also functions essentially as a clearinghouse of information for services provided by other organizations, like you mentioned, some of the homeless housing projects, and it's something we're going to be talking about more on some of our future shows here, which is one of the missions of our program, of our radio show every week, is to get information out there to help veterans, and we really appreciate all the work you're doing, and wish you the best of success, and let us know how we can help you as well. So, Rick, anything I've missed here?
No, I've enjoyed Henry being on our show. And
thank you. I've enjoyed being here.
And David said, we wish you and the Veterans Action Project continued success.
I welcome you
to come back on our show anytime. And let's talk more about doing that town hall with Bill Arrakis. I really think that's something that, we get some media attention on it and really put some hard questions to Mr. Bill Arrakis as to what Congress is doing to help our veterans, because they need the help.
Right.
That's true. I mean, I personally feel the VA has improved a lot. I've gone through years of VA bashing. I've been around long enough. But I do have to give them a little bit of props. I feel like they've gotten a lot better, having gone through the experience myself. And, I mean, I'm sure there's still room for improvement. And I think they should take on some other programs to reintegrate veterans when they get out of the military. And they do have some. They do have some employment-related things and, stuff like that. But that doesn't help people that are that are, you know, out there, have, maybe they're underemployed or, you know, that they're struggling because things, it's just not that easy. You know?
Right, it's not easy. And they've, a lot of them, their disabilities are preventing them.
Really make it hard.
Yeah, and then they're preventing them from maybe they're suffering from severe depression or post-traumatic stress, and they've just decided, you mentioned some veterans that want to isolate themselves. Maybe they want to go live in the woods, but that doesn't mean that they don't want help, that they don't want a better situation. And it's a matter of getting to the veterans, and there are really so many programs out there. The VA does a lot, to their credit. I know a lot of...
Yeah, they've done a lot better. Cause I remember when I first started dealing with the VA, they didn't do half of what they do now.
Right, and it's not just the federal Department of Veterans Affairs, but the state of Florida. And we're going to be talking about this more in future shows. The state of Florida Department of Veterans Affairs has an extensive array of programs to help veterans find work, to help them start their own small businesses, to link them up with various benefits, and also to be kind of an information clearinghouse. So there's so much out there, it's almost as if the amount of information can be overwhelming.
And a lot of it can fly right by you without knowing it. There should be some way to really centrally put it all together.
Right.
So,
right.
Because there really isn't one. I mean, if you want to find out about VA programs, you're going to go to the VA. But, you know, I can't tell you how many referrals we get from the VA clinics and from the VA administration itself. But yet, to try to pull together all this information, and I'm sure there's a lot I don't even know.
Right.
You know?
Well, same here. And
you and
Rick are in the business of helping veterans, but there is so much, and it's constantly continuing to change. Both the VA programs, every year they're adding programs, but some of the programs don't work as well as really they should. There's state programs.
No.
There's even county programs. And then you have private organizations, such as the Veterans Action Project, which are trying to fill in the gaps where all these other programs are really not working. So we're all working towards the same goal, which is...
Well, like I said, they do specific... It's not that they're not working. It's that they do specific things.
Right.
There just isn't... For a guy who's been out of the military, let's say someone's been out of the military for 10 years, but he's a disabled vet, he's a 30% disabled vet. Now, it may not stop him from working, but it really hampers his progress to get ahead in life, so he's constantly on that edge.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, those kind of people need to hand up.
Right.
And there's really not much for them out there. Sure, they can try to go, you know, like take a veteran, you know, even in the late 40s or early 50s. Well, they're not going back to college. Chances
right.
are,
right.
So
right.
I mean, now they're going to try to find a, you know, they're going to try to get into a new career, and that's hard to do when you get old, a little bit older.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But yet, there's still a 30% disabled veteran, and you know that disability they got. There's so many different scenarios. I mean, is it mental? Is it physical? It does retard progress sometimes.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And those people need help.
Right. 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 Well, again, Henry, we want to thank you so much for your time, for being on our show tonight, and we wish your organization continued success, and we'd like to help however we can. So we're going to be in touch with you, and hope you can return to the show sometime in the future. So thanks again, and one more time, your phone number for our listeners, it's the Veterans Action Project, Newport Richey, Florida. Their phone number, area code 727-841-7329. Again, 727-841-7329. Thanks very much, Henry. And
thank you, Henry.
Thanks
for having me.
Okay, take care.
It's been
Richard,
a great pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. All right, Richard. Why don't we move on to our next segment of the show tonight, devoted to bring the veterans some news from Washington, D.C. I understand there were some recent events this past week in Congress and the VA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This past week, the House and Senate each passed S-544, the Veterans Choice Program Improvement Act, that would extend the Veterans Choice Program and ensure veterans have access to timely care in their own communities. The legislation now goes to President Trump for his expected signature. According to a Senate press release, the Veterans Choice Program is scheduled to expire on August the 7th, 2017, and currently veterans aren't able to schedule appointments that fall after that expiration date. The Veterans Choice Program Improvement Act would allow the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs to access all of the funding initially appropriated for the program and ensure that veterans' access to care isn't disrupted by the looming sunset of the program. The VA expects to have approximately $950 million remaining in the Veterans Choice Program should the program expire in August, and the legislation would allow those funds to continue to be used until they are fully expended.
And I was reading up on that that law as well this past week, and I saw that according to the congressional press release, this legislation would also authorize the VA to be the primary coordinator of benefits under that Veterans Choice Program. So hopefully it will reduce the veterans' out-of-pocket costs, and it will also align the Veterans Choice Program with the VA's other community care programs. This Veterans Choice Program Improvement Act, it was introduced in the Senate by Senators John Tester and John McCain, co-sponsored by Senators John A. Isaacson and Jerry Moran, and Congressman Phil Rowe, the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, introduced companion legislation in the House. So both the House and the Senate have passed this bill. Hopefully it will improve things, and I think this type of program is one of the priorities of the new VA Secretary, Dr. Shulkin. So we'll see how
that's
it works.
That's great. Yeah. And Senator John McCain recently issued a statement on April 3rd saying, as we approach the three-year anniversary of the scandal in care that first arose in Phoenix before spreading nationwide, we must continue working to reform the VA and ensure that all veterans have access to timely and quality health care. The Senate's passage of our bill today is a critical first step toward ensuring our veterans continue to have access to the care they need in their own communities. To date, more than 1 million veterans have made 7 million appointments using the Choice Card with local health care providers for everything from diagnostic tests and urology screenings to life-saving heart and cancer treatment.
And in another development in Congress this past week, U.S. Senators John Tester of Montana and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Congresswoman Shelley Pingree of Maine introduced bipartisan legislation to ensure the VA is providing appropriate benefits and care for survivors of military sexual trauma. According to a Senate press release from April 5th, quote, following reports that nude photos of female service members were posted on Facebook and other websites without the service members' knowledge or consent, the members' legislation will allow service members and veterans who have experienced online sexual harassment to access VA counseling and benefits, unquote. Also, according to the press release, and I quote, veterans of cyber sexual harassment are not currently eligible for those services, unquote. That's thus the need for this law called the Service Member and Veterans Empowerment and Support Act, which would codify VA policies that reduce the burden of proof on survivors to access trauma and mental health care related to military sexual trauma. It also expands these standards of evidence to include any mental health disorder resulting from sexual violence. In addition to that, in an effort to encourage more victims to come forward, the bill requires military officials to educate service members about available VA services for military sexual trauma survivors. So this law is focused not just at the VA, but also the military, active duty military in particular. So we'll see whether that legislation is acted on by Congress and passed and has a positive effect.
And then in other veterans news, this past week on April the 4th, the House Veteran Affairs Committee held a hearing to receive testimony to discuss ways to improve the VA's Veterans Crisis Line. As our listeners know, every week on this show, we remind listeners of the VA's programs to help veterans, including the Coaching the Care program, as well as the Veterans Crisis Line. Unfortunately, in the past couple of years, the Veterans Crisis Line itself has had problems handling the large volume of calls it received from veterans and their families seeking urgent help, often with a suicidal veteran.
Yes, according to Congressman Phil Rowe, the committee chairman, in the past decade since the Veterans Crisis Line was established, more than 2.6 million calls have been answered, and emergency responders have been dispatched to those in need almost 70,000 times. Sadly, suicide is an epidemic affecting not just service members and veterans, but our nation as a whole. However, last year, the Department of Veterans Affairs released the most comprehensive analysis of veteran suicide data to date and found that the risk of suicide was 21% higher for veterans than it was for non-veterans. According to the VA's own data, 20 veterans per day die by suicide. Shocking.
You know, and Congressman Rowe also stated that over the last year, Veterans Crisis Line has been the subject of three major investigations by the VA Inspector General and by the Government Accountability Office that have found serious management, organizational and quality deficiencies in virtually every facet of VSL's operations. Hopefully the congressional hearing this past week will result in better service by the crisis line since lives are at stake.
Yeah, and on that topic of suicide prevention, which I know is a priority of the new Secretary, Dr. Shulkin, on April 3rd, the VA announced expansion of a pilot program that it's been using. It's called the Recovery Engagement and Coordination for Health, Veterans Enhanced Treatment. That's a long title. Recovery and Engagement and Coordination for Health, Veterans Enhanced Treatment, which for those of us that served in the military, we're used to acronyms. That actually spells out to the acronym REACH VET. Which makes sense because the purpose of this program is to reach out to vets in a proactive manner. It's a program in which they're using predictive modeling. They analyze existing data from a veteran's health records to identify those that are in elevated risk for suicide, hospitalization, illness, or other adverse outcomes. And this allows the VA to hopefully will provide preemptive care and support for veterans in some cases before a veteran even had suicidal thoughts. And once the veteran is identified, his or her VA mental health or primary care provider will reach out to that veteran to check on their well-being and their treatment plan to see if further or enhanced care is needed. So this is an important program, and it's all part of the idea that the VA needs to be more proactive.
You know, that sounds like a great idea, but I wonder if the VA will have the staffing and resources to make the program work. You know, it is well known that the VA currently is understaffed by more than 45,000 employees, most of those being on the healthcare side of the VA.
Yeah, that's a great point. We've talked about that in practically every show for the last 3 months, which is something I want to remind listeners again, that the VA is currently understaffed by over 45,000 people. In other words, they've got about 45,300 vacancies around the country, and the vast majority of those are in the healthcare side. So if you're interested in helping veterans and working for the VA, go to their website, which is va.gov/jobs. That's va.gov/jobs. More information there about the specific jobs and locations. They also periodically have job fairs that you can attend. Again, check out that website, va.gov/jobs. Let's go back. We've just got about 5 minutes left in the show, but I want to go back. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I was going to do our Veterans History segment.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and tonight we remember events from World War II. 75 years ago today, the world was at war on land, air, and in the sea. On April the 10th, 1942, the war in the Atlantic Ocean was proving to be dangerous and deadly. On this day, 75 years ago, German submarine U-654 sank the British ship Empire Prairie in the middle of the North Atlantic at 2:20 in the morning, killing all 49 aboard. Less than 3 hours later, 20 miles off of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, German submarine U-203 sank British tanker San Delfino with 7 torpedoes, 28 sailors were killed, and 22 survived. In the same area, U-552 sank the U.S. tanker Tamaulipas just before 6:30 in the morning. 2 sailors were killed and 35 survived. That same day, in the middle of the South Atlantic, German raider ship Thor stopped British vessel Kerpool. Kerpool's crew suffered no losses during the attack, but tragically 16 sailors drowned as the men abandoned ship. Thor rescued only 30 survivors. Finally, Norwegian ship Chairman Knudsen disappeared from sometime during this day in 1942 with her crew of 33. She was presumably sunk by German submarine U-85. U-85 was itself sunk 4 days later by U.S. Navy destroyer USS Roper off the coast of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. That's another reminder to all of us. As we know, war is hell, and so many people paid the ultimate price during that insane period known as World War II. We remember the sacrifices of those who served in uniform, but also the sacrifices of their families. So it's just a reminder of really the scope and the type of loss. And just to think in this one day, in this one small part of the world, so much death and destruction was going on, during that wartime. So we've just got a few more minutes.
David, if you don't mind, I'd like to just bring up to one thing to our veterans, because this has been coming to my attention on my desk lately, and it's regarding the compensation and pension exam, often called the C&P exams. And these are now being outsourced. Many of them are being outsourced to private doctors who have contracted with the VA. And, I know one in Tampa, there's the evaluation services. There's the same thing going on in Orlando. And these are not VA hospitals. These are not their clinics. These are private facilities. And many of our veterans already have their C&P exams through these different services. They're also contracted around the country. Veterans should be aware that the contracted C&P exams are being done at locations other than the VA medical facilities that the veterans are used to visiting for medical care. We recommend that the veterans ask examiners if they are reviewing the veteran's claims file or C file before making the reports. We also recommend that veterans request a copy of the C&P report so that they have a chance to rebut any errors before the regional office makes a decision. Immediately after the exam, sit down and write up a summary of what happened during the exam. Provide that information to your representative. And this is very important. For instance, I had one veteran come to me. He's dealing with vein and artery issues. He gave me the name of the doctor that's going to be doing the exam, and it turns out the doctor's an allergist. So I'm not sure what this doctor's going to do in terms of examining our veteran. But we really need to be on our toes. And veterans, please reach out to your representative, and maybe they can do a little bit of background research before you go for your examination.
That's great advice, and of course it's important also to get a copy of that report as soon as it's available. And I understand that a lot of these contracted C&P doctors don't provide them, but refer the veterans to VA to get a copy. One way or another, the point is try to get a copy of that report before the regional office makes a decision, so you have a period of time. It might be a short window of time to rebut it. So that's all great things, Rick. And I think as we're rapidly drawing to a close, I just want to make our weekly reminder out there for our listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the VA does have their Veterans Crisis Line, and they have made efforts to improve those services. The toll-free number is 1-800-273-8255, and then press the number 1. Again, the Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255, and press the number 1. So that's about time for us to go for this evening. We'd like to thank again our special guest, Mr. Henry Purnell of the Veterans Action Project of Newport Richey, Florida. Thank you all for listening to our show here on BBS Radio. We'd like to thank all of our show sponsors, including, of course, Corey and Hurley Law Group, and our newest sponsor, Mr. Charles M. Newman of Florida. We'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. We'd invite our listeners to become show guests, sponsors, and advertisers. Our contact information is on our radio show's website, which is bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour, where you can also find archived podcasts of our prior shows for your benefit. We'll be back next Monday, same time, same station. That's 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. BBS Radio, VeteransNewsHour.com, Station 1. That's our show for tonight. Please tune in next week for another great show.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.